afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Wednesday, to get you through this coronavirus crisis. In a world where few things are reliable, we are reliable. So Jason Rancho, live on AM 770 KTTH. We're streaming live on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. Or no, I mixed those two up, didn't I?
Did you?
Did I?
I don't know.
Amazon, Google?
Yeah, those are things.
Yeah.
Those are names.
Got a lot to get to. We only have 2 hours left to do it. Washingtonians are begging Jay Inslee to allow outdoor high school graduations. We'll tell you how you can get involved. The Family Policy Institute's Mark Melosh is going to stop by to chat about the new guidance on churches. Plus, Donald Trump takes on Twitter, or maybe Twitter takes on Donald Trump. We're going to get into that story and so much more. This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by Primary Residential Mortgage, PRMI. Let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in the classroom?
So thousands of folks all across the state of Washington are petitioning Governor Inslee to let their school districts decide whether or not they can safely host graduation ceremonies in the outdoors. So that seniors who have already missed out on their graduating year, their senior year, don't have to miss out on a rather important educational milestone. An important milestone in their educational career, something that most high schoolers will remember. The petition was created by a mom of a senior that goes to school in Spokane County. The mom's name is Brenda Grassel. She told King 5 she's almost already got 10,000 signatures.
And I feel like it's that loss of not being able to reflect back on the prom or the time with your close friends. And if you go on the change.org petition, you can see the comments on there from the kids themselves. And it's really heartbreaking.
So right now they're at 9,445 signatures. I want to get them up to 10,000 by the end of this segment. And so I've made it really easy. If you want to sign on to this petition, just text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. Text RANTZ, RANTZ, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to this change.org petition, not because this petition is going to change the mind of Governor Inslee. It's because it brings a bigger spotlight to this issue. And that spotlight, getting more and more people involved, will end up changing his mind. It does not make sense at this moment for the governor to say, churches, you get to go outside where facial coverings, masks, and you can attend church because it's outside and it's safe, but we can't tell students who are the least impacted by the coronavirus, the least impacted demographic, that they can't go outside and be honored for their graduation ceremonies. Grassel told King 5 that her daughter's school district, which has three high schools with about 500 or so seniors, they've already created the plan to do this outside. The only thing that they need right now is the district to get permission from Governor Jay Inslee, King Inslee. So if you want to sign on to this petition, again, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. If he doesn't give a carve-out to these schools, understand a graduation wouldn't be able to happen until Phase 4. Spokane County just got into Phase 2. They're going nowhere close to Phase 4 until September, okay? And these seniors deserve to have a graduation. And it's really, really simple. You have people on the football field, have them out on the soccer pitch, wherever it is, and maybe you have multiple of them if you can't fit so many kids, but you have them sitting 6 feet apart, with the covering over their face. You have parents, close relatives, sitting in the bleachers, sitting separately again, 6 feet away from each other. Give these kids this memory. Give them this memory. Because right now, what school districts are doing all across the state and really all across the country is they're having these video graduation ceremonies, which are not the same. They're doing these drive-by graduations, which sounds quite violent, but they're just taking the car and they drive by the house and people in the car, they hold like signs and balloons and they say, yeah, congratulations for graduating, which just actually sounds really annoying.
You know, I'm not going to get one of those. I'm graduating here soon, Jason, and I'm not going to get any of that
fun. Yeah, but you're doing it online to begin with. What do you get?
I want to be celebrated, and graduation parties and graduation means a bunch of cash.
We'll celebrate.
You going to give me cash?
I'm not going to give you cash.
Mm.
I mean, but I'll celebrate. Congratulations. You're graduating from Wazoo.
Central.
Oh, Central, place.
Thanks for being invested in my life.
Yeah, but it's for marketing.
Athletic administration.
Marketing.
Administration.
That. Congratulations.
Do you know what
very close.
Do you know what marketing is?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's athletic administration.
Two separate things.
Text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. I'll go ahead and send you the link so you can sign on to this. This makes no sense. And you know what? If the governor doesn't give in on something like this, it shows you he doesn't really care about the kids. You know how he says that if you want to slowly and responsibly reopen the economy, you want to kill old people? Well, if he's not willing to do something like this that is very clearly safe, understand he does not care about the children. Okay? In fact, he wants to see children cry, and he hates puppies. There. You hear anyone complaining? You hear anyone standing up for him? No, because I'm right.
That was an awful lot of silence when you said that, so.
Yeah, everyone agrees.
Not a soul spoke up.
So text the keyword RANTS. And by the way, folks, I love you all. When I say text the keyword RANTS, it means just the keyword RANTS. Not RANTS graduation, my friend who just texted in 360. Not RANTS in parentheses. Just the keyword RANTS. R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-877. And let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Trumplandia?
So for some reason, Twitter decided to exclusively fact check Donald Trump. A tweet about what he thinks would happen in the future if mail-in voting was to be implemented in November. They said his claims were false. His claims about what he thinks is going to happen in the future have been deemed false by Twitter. Now, of course, it's not false. It is his opinion. You can disagree with his opinion. Democrats certainly do, and that's up for debate. And we're going to have the debate about vote by mail systems later on this hour. Twitter, as a private company, they can do this. They get to do this. But understand that by doing so, all they've done is put a giant target on their back, because now we're hearing word that the president is going to have some sort of executive order on social media. Now, as a conservative, I generally would probably disagree with this executive order. I'd like to see it. We'll see what it says. But it's almost like Twitter is begging for government regulation. And the problem is they decided to pick and choose who they're going to fact check. You think they're going to fact check Joe Biden? Do you think they're going to fact check any of the Democrats who are now saying they want vote by mail, but just literally a few years ago they said it was the worst thing in the world and it was going to lead to huge amounts of fraud? They are going after the guy they don't like. And it's not hard to see that they don't like Trump. And frankly, they don't like you. Yes, you. The person who's listening to me right now, as a conservative, they don't like you. Because the dude who's in charge of site integrity over at Twitter, his name is Yoel Roth. He's got a whole bunch of tweets that before he decided to delete them, folks screenshot and posted them online. John Levine over at the New York Daily News, Dan Bongino, were posting this all morning. And to tell you what he thinks about you, Yoel, the guy who's in charge of the department that oversees the fact-checking, that so far has exclusively gone after President Trump, he said back in 2016, "I'm just saying we fly over those states that voted for a racist tangerine for a reason." That's what he thinks about middle America. That's what he thinks about you, even though he doesn't realize that there are Republicans here in Washington State. Then he goes on to say, yes, that person in the pink hat is clearly a bigger threat to your brand of feminism than actual Nazis in the White House. So he thinks there are Nazis in the White House. This is what he thinks. This is what he thinks of this president, and that's what he thinks of the people who voted for him. He goes on to say, today on Meet the Press, we're speaking with Joseph Goebbels about the first 100 days. That's a quote. Then he says, what I hear whenever Kellyanne is on the news show. And then he says, how does a personality-free bag of farts like Mitch McConnell actually win elections? This is the guy who is choosing what is and is not factual when the president speaks it, okay? He is not someone who should be trusted. He's not someone who is even hiding what it is he believes. That should be concerning to each and every one of you. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. The IRS is increasing the number of officers in Washington State, and if you owe money, they're going to come for you. Don't try to take on the IRS yourself. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. N-U-N-N. Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
So Governor Jay Inslee today announced a new set of guidance for churches here in Washington State to reopen in Phase 1. It's not just churches, but it's places of worship. But does he go far enough, quick enough? Joining me on the line live is Family Policy Institute of Washington's executive director, our friend Mark Malosha. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jason. Thank you for having me.
So he's got a whole set of different guidelines for Phase 1. Basically, up to 100 people with facial coverings can go and experience outdoor service. And then in Phase 2, you have to have, I believe it was 25% capacity is the limit. You got to be 6 feet between each other, also wearing masks. What's your take on these new pieces of guidance?
Or, Jason, 50 folks maximum, whatever is less.
Yeah.
So that is the restriction that he is putting on churches for indoor worship in Phase 2. So my church here in Federal Way, we have a sanctuary that holds 800 people. We're only the third largest in Federal Way. And so that'll basically, for King County, we'll never see that.
Yeah.
And those in Phase 2, you know, very few churches will be able to open up correctly with those new guidelines that he put out. So it's not really a big step difference from what he had in the past.
It isn't, certainly not for anyone who might be positively impacted in Phase 2 in Snohomish, Pierce, or King counties, because their rules and regulations on whether or not they can even get to Phase 2 are pretty untenable for any of those districts. Now, outside of those districts, it's a little bit easier. But of course, when you're talking about, let's say, a church in a Seattle area, you generally don't have enough space to have 100 people outside.
That's exactly right. It's virtually impossible, inside or outside, if you're in King County or Seattle, to anytime soon have a reasonably normal church or church worship. And that's even using all the safety standards that everybody believes that is reasonable. Mass, social distancing, et cetera, et cetera.
Is it safe now? Would you advise a church or mosque or synagogue to open with their own set of rules?
Absolutely. I've been hearing from a lot of Christians and pastors the last week or so. We're encouraging civil disobedience. It's time to go the Martin Luther King Jr. route. It's time to practice and open up our churches like what you're seeing happening in California and other states that are truly restricting church worship. And in fact, we're also encouraging churches to start considering lawsuits. In fact, I give Governor Inslee credit. He didn't mention that. He said, if you disagree with me, bring a lawsuit. So that's the proper thing. We need to go to the Supreme Court and have a proper ruling. And President Trump and Attorney General Barr, we know, is on our side on this particular issue.
We certainly know that, especially after last week. If you're just joining us, we're talking with the executive director of the Family Policy Institute of Washington, Mark Malosha. Is the Family Policy Institute getting ready for a lawsuit over this?
We're working with the folks who are getting ready to sue. Absolutely.
What do you make of this idea that they're compelling folks who want to show up for worship to wear a face mask?
Well, we're not getting into that fine details of whether wearing a face mask is good or bad. The science clearly shows that outdoors, or if you're doing correct social distancing, a face mask is not truly necessary. But that's not the issue we're arguing here today. We're arguing we think we have the First Amendment on our side, mm-hmm. and unfairly discriminate against church, singling out churches or synagogues or temples while, you know, tribal casinos are allowed to open. We think that's wrong. So we're wholeheartedly against what the governor is doing and the way he's restricting churches, unlike other businesses or organizations.
Well, and that's really, for me, what it's about. Not to get into the moral argument here, but we very clearly have a right to worship in this country. And yet, He's saying that a church or a temple or a mosque is not essential, but he is saying that you can go to an abortion provider, that you can go to a casino, that you can go to all of these other businesses like pot shops, but you can't go to church. It really does show you where his head is at. It's bizarre to me.
That's right. He's clearly not listening to the faith community. He's clearly not listening to legislators outside the Seattle area. So the governor needs to look what's happening outside of Seattle and needs to look at what's happening in other states. Even, like I said, Governor Newsom of California has less restrictions than Washington State. And so he decides, and one of the questions today at his press conference pointed it out, that he has one of the most restrictive guidelines of any state in the nation. And they asked him, when are we going to get back to normal, Governor? And all he said was hope. Well, I hope it gets better. I hope the pandemic goes away. We can't rely on hope, Governor. We have to let churches worship.
Well, and I love he says he's got data and science on his side. He won't actually share with us what the science and data is, though.
He doesn't. And if you look at the data, you know, unless you're over 70, virtually nobody is dying anymore in our state. The number of folks dying in every week, I think, is like 4 or 5 people under 70 in the state. So we've clearly passed the deadly part of the epidemic. The question is, how do we open up for business, open up churches, and do it in a safe manner? But he doesn't want to have that discussion.
Why do you think that? Do you think he has anything against places of worship, religion in general?
Well, I think I would hope somebody would ask him that direct question. Why is he treating churches differently than pot shops, alcohol stores, casinos? Why is he treating churches different? We have the First Amendment on our side, but he's treating us harder in a harsher manner than virtually any other organization in the state.
Well, I'll play the role of Dopey Jay Inslee. I'll answer that, and then you can debate it. He would, of course, say that when you've got a lot of people going into a small piece of real estate, that there's a higher chance of spreading the coronavirus, and he wants to make sure as you're praying, you're not also spreading the coronavirus. That's what you're going to hear from him. So what's your response?
You should then make the same rules apply to every other organization in the state, the same square feet. Because everybody gets into a small square feet, whether you go to a pot shop, an alcohol store, Costco, Fred Meyer, whatever, what have you. Make the same rules apply. Don't single out churches.
So let's talk about this bigger picture idea that, as a nation, we've been talking about it, but it doesn't seem like Jay Inslee is talking about it here. Why is worship essential? And why should it be considered essential to go to a place of worship rather than do it in the privacy of your own home, where we can clearly say it's much safer?
Well, as somebody who's a follower of Jesus Christ, we truly believe you live a better, most prosperous, a better emotional, a physically better life if you follow a particular faith. I happen to be Christian. I think that's the best faith out of all that we have on the planet. But to say that faith is not essential, well, the data doesn't show that. People who go to church or go to synagogue live a better life than folks who don't. Your status of your spiritual life does affect how you live. And to say that it's not essential for people to gather and to worship God, to say that's not essential is to disregard all the positive attributes of faith and what it brings to families and individuals and helps them prosper.
Family Policy Institute of Washington, if you want to go to their website, learn more about their activism here, and it's activism we can definitely get behind, fpiw.org. That's Family Policy Institute of Washington. Their executive director, Mark Malosha, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
We've been told to listen to the experts, the medical experts. And then some of the experts came forward and they said things that some Democratic governors and lawmakers didn't like. So then they started to switch. They listened to Dr. Anthony Fauci. They liked his message. They liked the idea that he was saying things that they believed to be contradictory to the message of the president. So they said, listen to Dr. Fauci. Okay, let's listen to Dr. Fauci on CNBC.
We can't stay locked down for such a considerable period of time that you might do irreparable damage and have unintended consequences, including consequences for health. And it's for that reason why the guidelines are being put forth so that the states and the cities can start to reenter and reopen. So we are enthusiastic about reopening. And I think we can do it in a pace that would be reasonable and that would get us back as a society from a morale standpoint, as well as the economy. I don't want people to think that any of us feel that staying locked down for a prolonged period of time is the way to go.
So weird, because it sounds like, using Governor Jay Inslee's logic, Fauci wants old people to die. I mean, he's telling us to listen to the experts. Well, the experts, they're now starting to say in a louder and louder voice, we can't have this lockdown, this shutdown, these stay-at-home orders last as long as they're currently expected to last. When you think about what's going to happen here in King County or Snohomish County or Pierce County, the expectation, according to the own guidance being given from Inslee, seems to indicate we're not going to get out of this until there's actually a vaccine. We're not going to get into phase number two, not with a virus that is as contagious as this. But the experts are saying the opposite of what Jay Inslee is saying. Jay Inslee, the guy who doesn't quite understand the science and data he discusses, to the point where his staff had to create cartoon drawings of dials for him to understand. But the guy who's actually in charge here, the guy who has been leading the medical efforts on behalf of the Trump administration, saying something completely different from what Jay Inslee said. It actually sounds like he's saying what some of the Republican lawmakers have been saying. I guess Fauci isn't the doctor that Jay Inslee thought he was. He wants people to die. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. When we come back, we're going to dive into the big local right here on KTTA.
Kent, Olympia, Everett, Sammamish.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rand Show.
Sumner, Woodinville, Des Moines.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, where we completely ignore the city of Seattle, and instead, we focus our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Auburn, where the state's largest casino is now open. Muckleshoot Casino is open. They opened yesterday, and folks flock to the slots while their kids are stuck at home miserable.
The kids are at home, so that's nice to have a little adult time, I guess.
Yeah, well, your kids don't want you to come back because you've been kind of a pain in the ass to them. So you better get out all those demons at the slots. Now, the question, of course, is it safe? For them, the Tribal Council Vice Chairman Sonny Stevenson told Como TV, look, we are trying to balance safety with also ensuring that our, you know, economy is turned back on.
Realistically, we have to serve our people, and we have to find a strike a balance between being responsible with health, but at the same time trying to reopen our economy.
I can hear what he's saying and respond in a responsible way, unlike Jay Inslee, who would say, I guess, Native Americans want to kill old people. That's what Inslee thinks. He doesn't go after the tribes, by the way. He goes after the grandma in Cedro Woolley. He goes after Chris Corey, state representative out in Yakima. He goes after Jim Walsh in, I forget where he's from, Aberdeen. Like, he goes after the Republicans, but when a tribe opens up, he is silent. Now, their general manager over there, his name is Conrad Granito. He tells Como TV that the good news is we're so big that we can actually easily abide by social distancing rules.
And even at our busiest times, we're barely at 50 to 60% of actual occupancy level.
Now, obviously, they've made some changes, like all of the other casinos that have opened up. You got to have a face mask on of some kind of cloth covering. They're checking temperatures with thermal imaging cameras that I guess they can afford, they can put into place, but SeaTac was complaining about how they should get it from the federal government. No one over 100 degrees is being allowed inside.
Buffet is closed. There is no smoking throughout the entire property. Also, the table games have not reopened. We're looking to reopen those maybe in end of June.
End of June. if you want to get all that other stuff. So if you want to go there for the slots, they're open. Bob Moore, unfortunately, went there for the table games, only to find himself playing slots instead. But it's almost like he should have realized that it wasn't going to have the table games open.
Each casino is different, and on the internet, they kind of tell you, you know, what they're doing.
On the internet, they tell you what they're doing. Bob told Como that he went there expecting to play table games, only to find out that they're not allowed. They're only doing the slots. Why did he not use the internet to find out that information instead of lecturing us about using the internet?
Don't you dare disrespect Bob, because in the time that these casinos have opened, he's been to six. He's been to six different casinos.
Six casinos.
I have nothing but respect for this man, Jason.
I don't think I've visited in the entire time I've lived in Washington six individual casinos.
No.
I don't even think I've been to Muckleshoot six times.
I've been to like three.
I've been to Emerald Queen, the one in Fife, so I don't know. I've been to Snoqualmie, and I think I stopped to use the bathroom at Tulalip, because I was going there for the mall.
I can never remember the one that's in Paulsboro. I think it's Clearwater. It's something like that. I've been to that one. I've done Tulalip, and then I grew up in Auburn, so Muckleshoot till I die.
Snoqualmie is my favorite. Muckleshoot, I've not been to yet. That's on the list. Snoqualmie is my favorite, though. Ricky seems to be confused about everything that's going on.
That's
going
to be really confusing to people, you know? So can you play next to each other or can you not?
You can't. You got to be separated by 6 feet. You got signs up everywhere. He's looking at the signs and he's confused.
But there's people sitting next to each other playing slots.
Okay, like, well, then I guess you can. What do you want?
I want clear rules, Jason.
No, you don't. You don't want clear rules. The more rules you have, the more onerous it seems. Regina, who is playing slots with her 74-year-old mother, feels safe in this casino, despite, by the way, having some significant underlying health issues.
I've been in my house since March 16th. I feel like I'm covered here.
You feel safe here?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good for her. I will say this. I don't feel safe in a casino. I personally would not yet go to a casino.
Even before the coronavirus, I didn't feel safe in a casino.
Yeah, I mean, so every time I go down to Vegas, and I like going to Vegas, I weirdly find it relaxing. I always come back sick. I always come back sick. And anytime I go into an airport, I end up getting at least a little bit sick. And so I just don't feel comfortable yet going to a casino.
God, you seem like a ball of fun to travel with.
I'm the worst. And you know what? You don't have to travel with me. You want to know why?
I would kill myself
That's
if I traveled
why.
With
That's
you.
That's not why.
Why?
Because you can't afford to sit near me. Bam.
Maybe you should start paying me then.
Bam! Meanwhile, Thurston, Kittitas, Walla Walla are the three newest counties getting the nod to move into Phase 2. It happened earlier today. City leaders over in Thurston County say this is going to help all of their small businesses.
I know that we'll rebuild our economy, but to do that more quickly, we need to support our local businesses as they open up. So now is our time and our job to remind all Thurstonians that this opportunity to go to Phase 2 comes with great responsibility.
I hope the first thing Olympia Mayor Cheryl Selby does is go to the nearest Office Depot and purchase an HD camera with a better microphone, though, so that when she gives us these interviews, she is able to properly explain herself in a way that sounds clear to the human ears. But she, of course, at the end there said the responsibility is on all of us. And she's mentioning, look, Thurston County, just like any of these other counties, if you don't act responsibly, if you start to see an increase in the coronavirus spreading, they could lose their Phase 2 status. So she's still saying, hey, look, please continue to wear masks as you go into your banks and offices and stores and restaurants. I mean, not during the eating portion of it, but when you're not eating, when you're not stuffing your face, put the stupid mask on. The mayor of Lacey is also one of the Thurston County leaders saying, hey, you know what? Just make sure we're being responsible here.
We're not out of the woods yet. I just want to reiterate how important it is for us to continue to only go out if necessary. Yes, let's support our small businesses, but let's do it responsibly.
So there you go. Again, Pierce County is nowhere near getting into Phase 2. Neither is King County nor Snohomish County. We're going to talk about that more in the next hour. And then finally, late last night, a woman pulled a gun on a Washington State Patrol trooper along I-5 in Chehalis. and the cop did what he's supposed to do, which is return fire. She ended up getting shot in the head. He, thankfully, is fine. Outside, of course, of the emotional toll something like this will take on you, because no one wants to get shot at. No one even wants to have to shoot another individual, even if, like in this case, it's 100% justified. It happened when this woman was just hanging out on the side of I-5 in Chehalis. So he pulled over behind her, wanted to check to make sure everything was okay. He was doing the right thing. He goes up. He says, "Is there anything I can do to help?" She pulls out a gun and starts to shoot. He then pulls out a gun and starts to shoot back. What's the one thing that guarantees that a cop is not going to shoot you?
Don't pull a weapon on the cop.
Don't pull a weapon on a cop, and you're not going to get shot either in the head, in the chest, in the leg. Don't pull a gun on a cop. So this cop did the right thing. Now, I have a question. Why don't we hear from any of the activists out there supporting this particular trooper? This is very clearly a case of self-defense. And we know that when there's any inclination of a cop doing something wrong, the activists jump on that cop. Even if there's a hint that maybe a cop did something wrong. We certainly are seeing the national coverage of what's going on in Minnesota, where a cop very, very clearly did something wrong, killing a man. But then we go into the city we don't talk about in this segment, and we see a guy with a kitchen knife slashing at an officer. The officer uses the gun, killing the man. Activists come out, and they call the cop a racist murderer. How come in this case, when we very clearly have an officer who's doing the right thing, who protected himself, activists are silent? Why do they do that? I should answer that. Their silence is the answer. Their silence speaks for itself. They don't like cops. They don't back the blue like we do on this show. Right now, there is a trooper who shot someone in the head. Now, the good news is, as of right now, she is okay. She was airlifted to Harborview. And I'm hopeful that she will make it. I hope that she will make it, because this cop doesn't want to have to deal with that. This cop, all he was doing was trying to help someone, and then had a gun get pulled on him. And so we're going to be there for this cop, just like we're there for that SPD officer and any officer who does something that very clearly is the right thing but gets demonized anyway. We'll ignore this guy in the activist community because they want to focus on Minnesota. They should be focusing on Minnesota, 100%. I'm with them on that one. But they should also be focusing on people like this who are trying to do what's good for the community and end up having to use their weapon and shooting a woman in the head. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. When we come back, the mail-in ballot debate right here on Jason Rancho. Wednesday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. Republicans and Democrats are in a rather intense debate with each other about the worthiness of a national vote-by-mail system. Come November, there's fear that going to the polls would actually put you at an undue risk of coronavirus exposure. Of course, not you here in Washington State, as we are, of course, a mail-in ballot system for Washington, but other states in this country are not. Republicans are saying, look, if you want to go to the mail-in ballot system, it's going to be corrupt. Now, I think both sides of this particular issue have merit. I think both sides can make a good argument. I just don't think Democrats should continue to use Washington as a reason to move forward to mail-in voting, because the fact of the matter is, it took years for Washington to get where it currently finds itself. President Trump weighed in yesterday. Early yesterday morning, something in the 5 a.m. hour. And he was warning against a national mail-in voting system for November. He said it would be ripe with fraud. Now, Democrats don't like that message. Twitter, it turns out, doesn't like that message. They decided to fact-check him on it. Now, again, we talked about it a little bit earlier. His tweet was what he thinks would happen in the future. And yet, Twitter comes out there and for some reason chooses to go after this particular tweet in their first fact check of the president. In fact, Dana Perino talked about it on The Five about an hour and a half ago.
And there is controversy about mail-in voting. There are statistics, there are different things. You know, it took Seattle about 10 years to get it right. Jason Rance wrote a great piece on this.
That's me.
To explain that it's pretty good now, but it took 10 years for them to get it to be good.
That's me. Hey, I didn't know she was... That was a pleasant surprise.
You know Dana?
I know Dana.
Wow.
Dana Perino's awesome. Yeah, so she read my piece that's up right now at KTTH.com. And it talked about the fact that as much as the Democrats want to pretend that the system is very, very safe, if you implemented it for November, it would not be safe. You want to know why? Because as she said Seattle, she meant Washington. It took about a decade to get where it is we are right now. Is there some fraud still? Yes. There's always going to be some level of fraud. Any vote that was cast fraudulent is one vote too many. However, by fraud standards, it's very, very low. It still exists. We should do whatever we can to get that to zero, but it is not this massive amount of fraud right now because we have had about a decade's worth of experience here in Washington State to set up a system that is actually safe. Remember that what they do here in Washington is they're going to check the signature you have on the ballot against the signature that you've given them on file. It takes some time. Now, if there is a signature that doesn't quite match, they will then call you and they will talk to you about it. Again, you've got people who have committed years and years and years of service to ensuring this system works the way that it works. Do you think that in a matter of less than 6 months, every single state in the country can get to a point that took us 10 years to get to? Do you legitimately think that? All you have to do is turn to what happened in Iowa. We had the Iowa caucus on the Democratic side. They spent a couple years on this highly sophisticated app system that would make it so easy for them to figure out who was the winner. I don't think we even figured out who the winner was yet. It was an utter embarrassment and disaster. That was one party in a small state dealing with a small number of votes. And they were using an app. I don't know how you screw that up because all you're doing is putting in numbers into an app and then it sends it someplace else and they do all the calculations for you. That was an unmitigated disaster. But we're to believe that by November, and really it would have to be by October because you have to actually set up the system in which you are printing and mailing the ballots to the right address, they're going to have the whole system figured out in Iowa and everywhere else. Does anyone really believe that? And it is weird to me, since they're going to go ahead and fact check the president, that when the president comes out and says mail-in voting done by November is not going to be safe, they get all offended over at Twitter. I'm wondering if when Jerry Nadler tweets out his support, if they're going to point to this 2004 video.
It's a very tempting point. I just, as a very experienced practical politician from New York, I feel constrained to observe that in my experience in New York, paper ballots are extremely susceptible to fraud. And at least with the old clunky voting machines that we have in New York, the deliberate fraud is way down compared to paper. When the machines break down, they vote on paper. We've had real problems. So there's got to be a way. I'm simply observing that as a problem. There's got to be a way.
He's right. It was a problem then. It is still a problem, especially if you don't know what it is you're doing. And whether you want to listen to Kim Wyman, Secretary of State, or I believe her name is Colleen Wise, the King County Elections Commissioner, they're saying the same thing. They're disagreeing politically. Wyman's a Republican. Wise is a Democrat. But they're saying the same thing. It is not feasible to have a national mail-in voter system by November. You have the experts pointing to Washington State saying this is the place that's doing it well. They can do it. We can do it. Well, the people who are in charge, the people who have been put in place to make sure that the system works, they're the ones saying slow your roll. You can't get this done by November. And yet folks don't want to listen to that. Now, I am so grateful for Kim Wyman. Because a vote-by-mail system is only as good as the Secretary of State in charge at the time. It just so happens she's very, very good, and that's good for all of us. The system is what it is because of Kim Wyman. By the way, remember, she's up for re-election. She's running against an ideologue, a Seattle progressive. So make sure you go out and vote for Kim Wyman. But the Democrats will have you believe that the only reason Donald Trump doesn't want to do the mail-in voting is he knows people will be less likely to vote during a pandemic. Now, of course, we don't know what the pandemic is going to look like in November. But let us assume nothing changes. understand that the Democrats are not doing this because they care about you. They're not taking this position because they want to make it safe for you to vote. They know that we're not going to have a national mail-in system by November. This is them setting up the stage for, yet again, trying to delegitimize this president. They're setting the stage for when Donald Trump wins re-election, beats Joe Biden, they can come out and say he only won because he cheated. He could have allowed mail-in ballots. He chose not to, even though the president doesn't get to decide that. He could have pushed for it. He didn't. And voter suppression. That's the only way they win. The only time. What's his name? The documentarian Michael Moore. Over the weekend, he was on with Bill Maher. He said the only way Republicans win is when they cheat. Well, then why do Republicans lose elections ever? Were they lazy that one time? Like, ah, screw it. I don't want to cheat this time. I'm not feeling motivated. Why do we not have control of the House? Why has any Republican ever lost? If the only way they win is cheating, why don't they always cheat then? It is such a stupid and lazy argument. But there are folks on the base of the Democratic Party and the progressive part of the party who live this. They actually believe this. They actually believe this. That's what this is about. They're setting up their next excuse to explain why Joe Biden lost. If you want to read my piece that Dana Perino said was the best piece of literature ever put to paper, text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rantz Show.